Let's pray. Lord, on this Easter Sunday, when we reflect on the resurrection of Jesus and what it means for our lives, we pray that as we come afresh to familiar stories of the resurrection, that you would breathe new life into them, and that we would know the resurrection as a living reality in history and in our own lives, here and now, and spilling on into eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This year, the resurrection stuff matters more than usual to me, with the recent death of my mother a week past Friday. It has focused my mind when I was preparing the sermon. And you ask yourself these deeper questions when you lose loved ones. You say, do I really, really believe all this stuff? Did he rise from the dead? And can I have real hope because he has defeated death and I will see my mum again in God's presence? Last Friday, when my mum died, in the evening I went with my brother Michael to the local pub just near my parents' home. And as we were walking to the pub, my brother, who's a consultant hematologist and a convinced atheist, said to me, do you really believe you will see mum again? And I thought for a brief moment, I didn't want to give him a trivial answer. And I said, yes, I do believe that there is life beyond death, and there is more to reality than the purely physical. And even if you look at it from a scientific viewpoint, quantum physics helps us see how strange reality is, and that there are different layers to even the world that we live in here and now. When you've seen someone you know's dead body, it sticks with you. I don't know if you've seen someone after they've died. Very much this week, the image of seeing my mother there in the side room in the hospital, lying there, has come to me at many different times. And when I was with her and I saw my mum's dead body and I kissed her and stroked her hair and talked to her and commended her to the Lord, I do believe that that body, in some shape or form, I don't know how this happens, that she will rise and be given a new body, a resurrection body. And one day I will be reunited with her in God's presence. And that's all because of what we celebrate today on Easter Sunday. In the story we have from Matthew, we have two Marys, not the well-known Mary, his mother, but Mary Magdalene and another Mary, probably the mother of James. And they go to the tomb. Now, they're not expecting the resurrection. They don't go there and think, oh, Jesus is coming back. Let's go and see him pop out the grave or whatever. That wasn't on their radar, although Jesus had spoken about those things. They probably just thought, what's he going on about? They wouldn't have had a clue, really. But they went, as good Jewish women, to tend to his body, to prepare in the burial rituals of the Jewish people to tend to his body. And I was thinking of the parallels there as I thought about when I felt the need to go and see my mum. That you feel drawn to go and see your loved ones when they've died. You want to go and say your goodbyes to them and prepare them for their funerals. We feel drawn to the bodies of our loved ones. We need to know also for certain that they are dead. We need to see that they are dead. Now, Matthew's version of the resurrection is a little bit OTT or over the top. It isn't meant as a journalistic description of something that actually happened, as if you had a video camera, you would have seen the angel coming down and sitting on top of it, etc., and the tomb being opened. I don't think that's what Matthew is talking about here. It's more of a later theological reflection, many decades later, of something that really happened, but telling a story. But whatever actually happened, and nobody actually saw the resurrection happen, just saw what happened after the resurrection. The two Marys have had an encounter with an angel who gave them a message. And the message is in verse 5. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So that's the message that they are given. They're given a message to go back to the male disciples. And that's another interesting factor. If you were going to make up a story about the resurrection, you wouldn't have female witnesses. And that's something that comes through in gospel after gospel, that the first witnesses to the resurrection were women. Because in Jesus' day, women were not seen as sort of bona fide, legal people who could appear in court and give their testimony and witness. So God's doing something subversive here by appearing first to the women. So if you're going to make up a story, you're not going to have women in it because it doesn't fit with the situation. But that is a little aside there. But we see the reaction of the women in verse 8 where it says, "And the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and they ran to tell his disciples." Other versions say they were filled with fear, but also filled with joy. It's interesting that fear and joy exist side by side in their experience. They're scared witless by this encounter. And it's interesting in Mark's gospel, it says the women went away frightened, and it leaves it there. And it doesn't actually say they go and tell the disciples. They were that frightened, they just sort of ran away or whatever. It leaves it sort of hanging in a sense here. But we see they're scared witless by this encounter. And if you saw an angel, angels aren't little comforting things with little fat things with cherubs or whatever we have on our art in nowadays. Angels are messengers of God, of glory. And when people see angels in the Bible, the first thing the angels say is, "Do not be afraid." Well, why do they say do not be afraid? Because they are afraid. You know, when you have this encounter with God's glory and God's presence in that time. But nevertheless, although they're fearful, they're scared out of their wits, they're also joyful at the same time. It's hard to imagine how you could be scared out of your wits and joyful at the same time. You don't normally think of those emotions coexisting or juxtaposition or being side by side. And I was thinking about when we could feel a range of emotions. In the last week, I felt a range of emotions. But the two emotions that stick out most for me are sadness on the one hand at the loss and death of my mother, but also a strange, deep peace that I feel at this time as well. A week past Friday, my dad phoned me at 6 o'clock in the morning. And when you're a minister and you get a phone call at 6 o'clock in the morning, you know it's not good news, or rarely. It might be occasionally good news. Oh, your sister or your cousin's had a child or something like that. But more often than not, it is perhaps someone's died or someone is dying. And my dad phoned up and he said to me that my mum had taken a turn and had been rushed to hospital. And he said he would phone me back when he had more information. He said that the ambulance came after 5 minutes, which is a minor miracle with the situation with the NHS at the moment. So that's something to be thankful for. So it was 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm not an early riser, so what do I do? I thought, well, I might as well just go back to bed. But going back to bed when you've just had a phone call saying your mum's taken a turn and been rushed to hospital, you're not going back to bed to sleep. So I thought, I just sat there and I thought, well, I might as well pray, or I might as well meditate as I wait. And as I was meditating, being silent in God's presence, I had a strong sense that my mum was going to die, that today was going to be her last day on the earth. But at the same time, I felt a deep sense of peace in that situation, that God met me and gave me peace. And that's one thing that Jesus, when he rose from the dead, came to the disciples and said, "Peace, have my peace, my shalom, I give to you, not as the world gives, but I give you my peace." And I felt the peace of Christ in that moment. So although my mind was racing away, thinking scenarios, I did feel the peace of Christ at the same time. So I felt anxiety and peace. And then my dad phoned back maybe half an hour or so, or an hour or so later, saying that she'd had a massive bleed to the brain and it was a matter of hours. So we looked at the train timetable and saw there was a train in the next half an hour, so quickly rushed and got ready and went to the station. And on the way to the station, my dad phoned her back and said that she had died. But, you know, I was going to go up anyway. For me and for you, the resurrection really matters. And when I was thinking about the resurrection, my thoughts were drawn to these words from the Apostle Paul, where he talks about the resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse 12. It's quite a long passage, but I think it deserves to be read and spoke to me and speaks to me even now. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12 and following. "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But if he did not raise him from the dead, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to the Father after he has destroyed all dominion and authority and power. And he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death." Christ has defeated death. His death and resurrection on the cross have opened the way to eternal life for all of us and those who believe. I wasn't really looking forward too much to preaching today or even to Easter Sunday, but so far it's been a really good Easter Sunday and I've enjoyed myself. I'm sure there'll be sad moments when I think about my mum when I sit down in quieter times. But it has been a joyous day for me so far. And it is a joyous day for us all. Yes, I'm not trying to put on a plastic smile and say everything's okay. I hate it when people lose a dear member of family and they say, oh, I'm rejoicing in the Lord. She's gone to glory and I'm living in victory. And I think, probably not all the time. Probably you have your moments where you miss your loved one and you're struggling and you're crying and it's not easy. And yes, I believe those things. I believe my mother is at peace with God, and one day I will be reunited with her in his presence with all God's people. And yes, I'm still sad. And all of us carry sadnesses within us, don't we? Of lost ones, spouses, children, family members who have gone before us. We carry those sadnesses with us. But he has risen, and we will rise with him. And that begins even now. The resurrection isn't just something that happened in the past and will happen to us in the future. The resurrection has a present reality to it, that we live in the power of the resurrection even now. And it strengthens us and empowers us to live in the way of Jesus. Jesus is alive now. It's better not to say Jesus has risen, but Jesus is risen. And there's a difference between that. It's not just a past tense thing. Yes, there was a point in history when God raised Jesus from the dead, but Jesus is risen in the present tense and is present with us in his risen power. But we also look forward in hope to our own future transformation and resurrection. And I was reminded of these words from John chapter 3, verses 2 and following, where he says, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." When we see him, we will be transformed into his likeness and become like him. That applies to my mum, that applies to me, that applies to all of us. I think sometimes when we think of our loved ones, we can think of it too individualistically, as if, oh, when I get to heaven or when I get to be with God, I'm looking forward to seeing my grandma, my children, my friends. And I'm sure there will be a personal reality to it. But I think in many ways we'll be caught up in the wonder and splendor and beauty of God, that all these things will fall away in some ways and we'll just enjoy being in God's presence. I don't think my mum's actually up there looking down upon us. I don't think it works like that. I think eternity is a different level of reality. I don't think the dead are waiting for us, because it would be boring for them to be sitting around waiting. Time doesn't exist there. I think somehow we'll all be captured up and we'll meet each other all together, and there'll be no sort of distance between past, present and future, but it'll be one reality in eternity. I'm speculating, but I'm allowed to speculate. We all speculate about these things. But I do have a sense that my mum is at peace and she is safe with God, and I can leave her there until my time comes to take that last journey, as it will for all of us. So today I say to you, I say to myself, allow yourself a day to celebrate the reality of the resurrection. Enjoy good food, eat too much chocolate, drink too much as well if you want to, especially if you've been giving up stuff for Lent. But enjoy it, it's a feast day. There is something to celebrate. And what I wish for you is that without denying and even repressing the sadness and the struggles that we all have in our lives, we could still allow ourselves to capture something of that Easter joy, that those women experienced at that first resurrection. And my prayer for you and for me is that today we would catch a glimpse of that joy and be sustained to follow Jesus, even if we're a bit fearful at times too. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you raised your Son Jesus from the dead, and in him somehow you defeated death in his death and resurrection. And that one day, as George Herbert says, death will die. We do not see that yet, but we know that it is coming. And that you, who are the God of life, will reign for all eternity. You will be all in all. Death will finally be defeated. And life, your eternal life, will reign triumphant. And we see a glimpse of that today in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. We know that you will resurrect us and that you will redeem, restore and renew the whole of the created order too. And we thank you for that. Amen.